Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive into classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
I'm back and better than ever. You like that?
Yeah.
Eric Bischoff's WWE theme.
You will not be quitting your day job.
Hey, what do you think's gonna last longer? This episode or Bischoff's employment in WWE?
It's gonna be close. So which time after getting fired, you know, that's what you really gotta ask. So
man, that's
if it's the most recent run, we're definitely gonna be on longer. So yeah.
And it just didn't work out, man. I like Bischoff a lot. You know, I've heard him in kind of deep dive format a couple times on his podcast talk about, you know, his run and what happened, and it just didn't seem to work out. I mean, nothing bad happened, you know, and none of the shit Meltzer reported was accurate, but yeah, it just wasn't a good fit, man. Him or Heyman. And that's a shame too, because I like the idea of them and Heyman being there. I thought maybe you could do like you might actually get me to care a little bit about Raw versus SmackDown if Bischoff and Heyman really made each of those brands their own and they were way different and distinct. And maybe once a year, instead of a draft, you brought the two of them on for like trades, not that they'd be like weekly GMs. I thought that could be really interesting, but instead of what I wanted, we got like the polar opposite. Neither stuck around. They were never on camera. They didn't do any of the good ideas that we had.
Sometimes, man, you just never know. But yeah, so we got a fun one, exciting here. All that different stuff. We spoiled it, teased it, whatever you want to call it, last week when we were doing our show. But Survivor Series 2003, just Team Austin versus Team Bischoff. And so
why'd you want to cover it?
I'll jump right into it. Like, this is just one of those where, again, I think that when I kind of saw what was, the participants, but then also like, this was like Austin at this time, like, you know, I say past, you know, not as involved obviously because of injuries and things like that. But, on paper, it should have worked. And we'll kind of find out, especially if no other reason than some of the participants in this one, like, you know, some big names, some good names, some guys from even the year previous that we kind of, you know, involved in, you know, some of the episode that we talked about last week. And so, it's just a lot of different reasons, but I think more, it's just the kind of name recognition on this one, you know, why I wanted to kind of talk about it. How about you?
Yeah, very, very similar here. I'm looking forward to this one. There's a little bit at stake here with Bischoff and Austin grappling for control of Raw as the co-general managers. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this, man. It should be a fun one. A lot of talent in the ring. And, you know, let's see if we can watch a good Survivor Series match, because, you know, we really don't get those anymore.
And we haven't, as funny as it is, we didn't cover a Survivor Series last week. We covered Elimination Chamber. And so this is one of the few Survivor Series matches we're going to cover.
I know. Well, looking forward to it. So let's get right into the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
All right, we're in Dallas, American Airlines Center, a building I'm familiar with from the year I went to the WrestleMania in Dallas. Cool little spot downtown, a bunch of bars nearby that you can kind of hang out with before it starts. So, you know, Jeff, I've talked about this before, but one of my favorite things is people watching at these big shows. So it's fun to get down there early, hang out for a few hours. Did I tell you what I used to do? I shouldn't say used to do. I still do it. Me and my buddy that I typically go to WrestleMania with, we'd get there early, we'd get two bar stools, we'd start drinking, hanging out. And then like, just, you know, I'd come back from the bathroom and I'd just casually say to him, dude, I just saw CM Punk. Yeah, we just like start all these rumors. I don't know.
Just to like random fucking.
Yeah, because you say it loud enough that people hear you and then they're like staring around. They're like checking their phones, like checking Twitter. It's great. So just
what the hell's going on?
Yeah, just to fuck with people. We always do that. So I just remember doing that a lot this day. And I remember where we were hanging out outside of this arena. And it's just it's a cool spot. So
that's a good one.
Yeah. So, because I mean, sometimes these arenas you go to twice. You go to them for the Hall of Fame, then you go to WrestleMania, then you go back to the arena the next day. So, hey, you become familiar with these places. So, Survivor Series 2003, November 16th, Dallas, Texas. Mark Cuban would make an appearance because this is his Mavericks building. So, kind of a fun show. I was talking about this last week, Jeff. This was a more enjoyable card as opposed to what we saw the year prior. So, we kick off with Team Angle against Team Lesnar. Now, you'll remember at WrestleMania the previous year, those two wrestled for the heavyweight championship. And so we get the Survivor Series match. Kurt Angle, Bradshaw, Benoit, Hardcore Holly, and John Cena, they would defeat the team of Lesnar, A-Train, Big Show, Nathan Jones, and Matt Morgan. So a lot of beef on that team. 13-minute match. Your women's heavyweight champion, Molly Holly would defeat Lita in 6 minutes. Kane would defeat Shane McMahon in an ambulance match in 13 minutes, a maskless Kane. It'd be kind of a fun match to go back and watch. I bet that was pretty good. I remember Shane bumping all over the place. Then we got the tag team championship match, Basham Brothers defeating Los Guerreros. Then the match we're here to cover, Team Bischoff and Team Austin in a traditional Survivor Series match. Then Mr. McMahon would defeat The Undertaker in a Buried Alive match. And in the main event, Goldberg would retain his World Heavyweight Championship by defeating Triple H. So it's just crazy that at WrestleMania 19, you get Goldberg on Raw, I believe the next night. So, I mean, he wasn't wrestling at WrestleMania 19, and then he's gone 9 and 20. So he had a 1 year run. And in the course of it, you know, I believe he won the title at SummerSlam in that Elimination Chamber match, but he's your champion here. But he'd lose it and be gone by the time WrestleMania came around. So that's the card, man. Looking forward to covering this match. And build wise, how do we get to the co-general managers coming to blows and settling their score in a Survivor Series match?
So we didn't touch on it too much last week, but yes, this was 2002. Actually, Bischoff hired by WWE, WWF, to be the general manager of Raw. While it was primarily on screen, that was kind of what he did, because you got to, you know, of course, blurring the lines a little bit. Still had some pull backstage, still was able to pitch creative ideas, which, you know, kind of led to the Elimination Chamber as well, too, and kind of having that. And so, like we talked about, but he actually debuted, it was July 15th, that episode of Raw, came out as his normal, like, he was Eric Bischoff, as we remember him, and, like, you know, saying that, you know, he was the creator of, or president of WCW, creator of the NWO, and that he really forced Vince to kind of change the way he does business, which, I mean, again, we talk about on the show all the time. You and I like can call it out when we see it, like that reality blurring the line with the kind of show and them doing that a whole lot. So at this point, when he was debuting, Austin was not, I say debuting, like, you know, coming back to, you know, showing up on WWE. Austin wasn't around. It was actually like some behind the scenes kind of heat between Austin and McMahon. It's one of those where Austin has said nowadays, like, you know, some of the reporting wasn't true. You know, he had actually no-showed a couple shows. It's one of those that'll probably be lost in the ether forever of, you know, what actually happened, just like the Montreal Screwjob. You know, we'll just never, ever know the true full story. Maybe that Netflix Vince documentary will finally tell us what's going on. We didn't talk about that, but
have it in my notes for this
one. All right, I'll stop. All right, we won't talk about that. We got a few things, but yeah, and so that's one where just kind of, you know, it had that as well, too. A lot of times that, you know, there's been interviews over the year, and Austin has said, you know, he wasn't happy with how the story was portrayed. It wasn't true what was said, which, you know, that's wrestling though. It's just part of it that he was fined, all these different things. Also saying that he had behind the scenes beef with Triple H and The Rock, just all kinds of stuff. And so, you know, and of course, like, you know, The Rock, it's just all these different little things that were kind of playing into it and kind of what was happening. And so, and kind of happening. So you actually had the night after Raw, Austin was actually, or kind of, I was Austin being fired, quote unquote, by Bischoff. It was medical grounds, you know, and why he had retired and kind of things like that of, you know, it really all boiled down to his neck and the Owen Hart pile driver was kind of, you know, why he had left for a while. You know, that was the biggest thing and kind of what was happening. And so, but you had Bischoff had control of the brand since the middle of 2002. You then had kind of early 2003 is when he was forced to really kind of share the responsibilities with Austin. So you had really that early 2003, the two of them being co-general managers, and really the feud over who has like the most power is really what it boiled down to. And so, again, and we have not seen her in forever, which for good or for better or for worse, who knows, but actually Linda McMahon was involved in this story. And so over the summer, it was actually Linda saying that Austin could not physically provoke any other Raw wrestler unless he was physically provoked. And so kind of starting to play up that. And so, like, God, I don't remember the last time we saw Linda either. That would be, think of, like, I don't even know if she'd get a pop if she showed up, but who knows, but
she came out. So she comes out to the old WrestleMania music. I love it.
Well, and I'm wondering too, like, if it's, you know, if she'd get the pop like Vince does nowadays when he shows up and steps out of the limo and, you know, fixes the jacket and all that stuff. And so, but anyways, like throughout the summer and really into October and leading up to the Survivor Series, that, yeah, you know, Austin not being able to, you know, really wrestle anybody unless he was provoked. But then Bischoff was the one that suggested that, this was late October, that they have this traditional 5-on-5 Survivor Series match with the two of them selecting their teams. And that if Austin were to win, that the restriction would be lifted that McMahon had put into place. But if Bischoff's team won, then Austin would have to step down as the co-general manager of Raw. And so good kind of, you know, back and forth there of kind of, you know, what were the stakes were, even a little bit different because neither of these guys are actually in the ring. So kind of, you know, sending in their people to do the work for them. So Austin, of course, accepted the challenge. You had Bischoff announcing his team members. The first two would have been Scott Steiner and Chris Jericho. And then you had Booker T going on Austin's team. There was really just a couple of weeks where they were just announcing their people. So I actually do like this. We can talk about during the match of like the roll out. Like I wouldn't want to know, which they do this nowadays where they roll out the whole team in one night. Like I like this kind of rolling kind of what's happening. You don't know what's happening. And so it was actually the final member of Austin's team was Shawn Michaels. And so, and him accepting after Randy Orton was announced as the last member of Bischoff's team. And so you had actually singles matches between Team Austin and Team Bischoff, where the two of them, they're just different teams. It was actually that November where they kind of had their singles matches between each other. It was actually Team Austin won all of those. So they kind of build up to that. Just interesting to see how, you know, we get that a lot of times, like the go home shows or in the kind of weeks leading up this, that, you know, they got the multi-man, multi-women, and they have like tag team or singles matches in the lead up to it, just to kind of drive up interest and of course move the story forward. So we had a little bit of that. There was actually a tag team match with the Dudley Boys defeating some of the guys as well too. And so I say a lot of different players. So like I said, the full teams here of you had Team Bischoff, which was Chris Jericho, Mark Henry, Randy Orton, and Scott Steiner. And then you had Team Austin, which was Booker T, the Dudleys, both of them, D-Von and Bubba Ray, Rob Van Dam, and Shawn Michaels. And so I've got a breakdown from the teams that we'll talk about after and kind of aggregate scores and all that stuff. I had a little bit extra time, so I've bringing a little extra to our listeners. I made sure to provide you a little bit more info and kind of let you know what's going on in this one. And so it was really just the, you know, kind of trying to get rid of some of the stipulations that were in place on Austin and him being the co-general manager, and then really just who was better, which, and at this time, Bischoff hadn't, I say, burned the bridge fully. Like, and so he was still coming off of the WCW stuff. So people knew where he, who knew who he was. And so he had been around for a while. And so at this point in WWE, and so he had, a little bit of pull, but, you know, fans knew who he was and kind of what was going on there and what they were getting when it comes down to it. And so, like I said, just pick your team, kind of have a few matches in the lead up to it, and then give us this 5-on-5. So, Tom, thoughts?
You covered it, man. This is, yeah. I'm looking forward to this. I hope this is a good match. You picked it, so it better not suck.
I from what I have will watch, and so I think you will be happy.
We think it's a good match. All right, good.
Yes.
So, here's the deal. If you want to watch it with us, Survivor Series 2003, we are at the 1 hour and 27 minute mark. Again, 1 hour, 27 minute mark of Survivor Series 2003. Jeff, are you ready for the payoff?
I am ready.
All right. Let's get to the payoff.
Ho! It's time for the payoff.
All right. Here we are. Ready to get started.
Jumping right in. Here we go.
Yeah, the crowd's into it.
Crowd is definitely into it.
So Austin's obviously got the good guys, and Bischoff's got the bad guys.
Yep, that's what we're going to. We've got a lot of people ringside. You got Stacy Keibler is ringside too.
Yeah, well, there's those ones they still had the photographers too. So I'm just looking at the ring. There's like 10 people surrounding the ring.
Yeah, Teddy Long is ringside as well, too. So you've got just a lot happening here. So, yep.
Oh, I stand corrected from last week. I thought that Shawn Michaels switched to the bigger ring attire right after Survivor Series. He did not. So at this point, he is still wearing the tight tights, but he's got his knee pads a little bit better disguised than they were during that fateful outfit a year ago.
We will have to. We will issue a retraction apology.
What a shitty! What a shitty entrance this was. Did you notice that yet?
Yes. Yeah.
It's really bad. Like, it's just a small screen, so it's not a big screen. And then they've just got like a big, like, white tarp thing on each side. It's not good. And the Survivor Series logo sucks too. Like, even now, like, they have not done a good job with that compared to like SummerSlam, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, obviously.
There's a guy sitting like second row with a HBK biggest fan sign. Is that you?
No. I don't. That would be weird. I just dress like him when I go to shows.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah, it's totally different. Yeah. And so again, getting right into it, just a couple hot tags, just a couple quick tags, keeping the people moving, getting people in. Jericho now taking on Rob Van Dam. All right,
this is our first Big Papa Pump match.
Oh, you know, yeah. And so for those at home, I keep track of just kind of the wrestlers that we talk about. And so, the numbers so we can, you know, see who we're covering and things like that. And of course, yes, the HBK number is high, but the Big Papa Pump number is now 1. So
HBK is higher than Hogan, huh?
Yes, he is. So, yeah. But there's two, and that's why, like, to keep us in check, and you know, you always ask, like, why I pick some of these matches. Like, I look at it, like, wait a minute, we haven't done, and next week, spoiler again, this is the second week in a row I've done this, like, talking Jake the Snake next week. Like,
that's right.
And so, like, and when you and I realized, like, what the fuck? How have we not talked about, like, and there he is, Big Papa Pump getting in the ring. Like, how have we not talked about some of these people? Because, and that's how I know we can be doing this show for a while, because we still got a whole lot to mine and a whole lot of people, good or bad, we've got it there. So, yeah.
I wouldn't mind trying to cover a Steiner brother match at some point if we can find, like, the best one ever. That would
be good. Especially, like, I say the OG Steiner brothers. Yeah. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, not wearing the wrestling helmets.
You probably loved them growing up because they came out with those Michigan Letterman jackets.
The Michigan letters, yep. Yep, exactly. And for those at home, yep, big Michigan fan. And so, yes, I remember that quite well, wearing the Michigan jackets. Yep. That was always good stuff. So, yeah, sorry. So you had a talking point here that I didn't want to get into before we started here. So I'll let you start with that.
Fast pace so far, man. Just a lot of moving. That's the cool thing about these Survivor Series matches, is if you have really good workers in there, you can have a damn good match.
And how does, like, Rob Van Dam still looks the same and moves the same, like, in 2002 as he does in 2020?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
exactly.
Or 2003. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the man is just unstoppable. Yep.
Oh, yeah. His oh, God, he just dropped him right on his head.
That looked rough. Yep.
Yeah. Going a couple push-ups there. I love it. So we wanted to talk about the Vince McMahon Netflix documentary. Jeff, it's finally happening. This is like my dream, is to have a really well done, I'm assuming, like, huge, you know, similar to like the Michael Jordan 10-hour, 12-hour documentary. You got Bill Simmons, who I'm no fan of, but he does produce really good documentaries. Did the Andre one. He's the creator of 30 for 30. So that's a major plus. The rumors are that it is going to be one of the most expensive Netflix documentaries they've ever produced.
And that's not a rumor. That's what everything says.
Okay.
It will be the most expensive ever produced. Yep.
So they're doing this thing right. Now, the key is going to be, are they going to let it rip? Okay. And when I say let it rip,
yep,
I mean,
I get it. Yep.
Okay. Episode 4 better be the steroid trial. Right.
Yeah. I'm with you. And like, what are those moments that they're going to, you know, what is off limits and what isn't? Yes.
Like, if you're, I mean, you know, you figure, so this is a fun topic. Like, what are the, if you had to do, because, you know, typically the way these documentaries work is they kind of, you know, they typically go in chronological order, but then certain episodes have themes, right? So the ones that come out for me are, you know, he, growing up might be one. His working for his old man and probably buying out his old man, that's one of them. Hulkamania is probably one of them, his relationship with Hogan, everything they've been through. WrestleMania 1 and the story of WrestleMania 1, that's got to be one. Steroid trial, that's got to be one. XFL, that's got to be one. Probably something with like his kids and his kids being involved in the business, and his entire family. That's one. So that's probably like 6 or 7. What am I missing?
And we got a massive brawl going on in the ring right now.
I mean, there's just zero control. You got to have more than one official out there.
Well, and I think, like, what are they not going to talk about? And that's where my,
I think they'll talk about everything. I just think they'll probably kid glove some of it. They're not going to hide from the steroid trial. Everyone knows it happened. You're probably just going to get Vince McMahon's version. Oh, him and Ted Turner. That's an episode.
It almost has to be. Yeah.
Well, right? Him
that, and you could do XFL.
Oh, I said that one. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Like Dick Ebersol and kind of their relate, and like, you know, and too, that could be, you know, both parts of like the starting of the XFL, but then circling back around to, like, him getting really fucked this next time around, where, you know, you had the league, you know, the different leagues kind of playing into a part there. And so, yeah, I wonder,
Montreal Screwjob's probably one.
I think the Montreal Screwjob is going to be a big one. I also wonder too, is Benoit going to be on there? And so
I bet they just avoid it, just because I don't think you need to tell Vince McMahon's story. Okay. So Big Papa Pump, first one eliminated by Booker T, with help from Stacy Keibler. I don't think you need to put Benoit into. Now, could you do an episode of all the deaths and do Pillman and do him and Eddie and all these guys that died young? And obviously there's way more. You might do that. But I don't, I wouldn't care if they avoided Benoit's story in the context of telling Vince McMahon's.
And I would hope that it is, and I would guess, because the people that are doing it have done some good documentaries before, I would hope that, like you said, I mean, I say good documentaries, literally like the 30 for 30, like yeah. All of them. That,
oh, it'll be great.
And that I, they, like you said, that while there might be some of these pieces where Benoit or, you know, like even talking about, I would want to know more about like family, like, you know, and the dynamics of them, you know, and just like how he is like in that scenario.
Well, and you know what you want to see too, is you want to see, like, think about, because I mean, the two best recent ones are Michael Jordan and The Undertaker. You want to see Vince McMahon, whatever, in his living room, you know, just shooting from the hip, right? Like, just riffing on all this stuff. That will be fascinating in and of itself.
And I just, and knowing where I sit today, and, you know, I just don't see that happening.
You don't see what happening.
I just don't see him doing that type of sit down.
He's going to have to. He's going to have to. That's that. That I don't. I, you don't do these documentaries without it. It has to be.
I'm with you. And I want. I don't want the character Vince McMahon. I want the man Vince McMahon.
You know what my pushback to that is?
What?
I think it's the same person.
Well, yeah, you say that.
The Undertaker and Mark Calloway are two different people. Okay. Yeah. Michael Jordan? Michael Jordan's Michael Jordan. The player, the asshole, the gambler, the guy in the documentary. I mean, you don't know. I just think that's the way Vince McMahon is. I think you may – and look, he's been in the wrestling business his entire life. You never know when he's working and when he's not. So massive frog splash, Mark Henry's out. Huge frog splash, yeah. That's a third guy out now.
Yikes, yeah.
Yeah, this is happening pretty quickly here.
We're moving quick here. So we've lost – at this point, we've got Scott Steiner, Booker T, and Mark Henry are all out.
Yep. Yes. I just don't think they're that different. So I just think Vince is who he is.
Yeah, and I, the reality is I – after I said it, now that you say that, I lean into that. And I think why I believe it a little more now is I think of like the Vince and the Gronk video of Vince taking the bump that Gronk wouldn't. Like, and that's just how he is. Like, and because you hear some of those stories, and like, I think they could dedicate, I think they might have an, I don't want to see an episode where you've got wrestlers like talking up Vince, like while you could talk about some of the stories he was involved in, like I don't want to hear, you know, people talk about how much they love Vince McMahon.
You're gonna get that, because that's just what's gonna happen. They're gonna talk about how he's put all these guys through rehab and how, you know, he was a father figure to all these guys. That's just what you're gonna get.
Yeah,
you're not gonna get a bunch of bitter ex wrestlers that are having significant health issues bagging on him.
Definitely not. And so, yeah, and that piece, but who knows? Like I said, we're probably not going to see it until probably at least next summer, based on kind of, I forget if they even had a timeline on it and forgot what's happening. I gotta say, Randy Orton now taking on Rob Van Dam. Randy Orton looking really young and small, which is, you know, relative in a lot of ways for him, but just look, yeah, just.
I know we say this, but guess what? You and I look young and small 20 years ago too.
Yeah, no shit. So, and that's what I got. And I haven't done it lately, but I always forget, like, you know, yeah, this was 2003. Like you and I were for what? Second year of college at that point. So yeah.
Oh, RKO out of nowhere.
Huge RKO. Yeah.
Okay, so that's the end for RVD. Well, you know what's funny too is when you watch this, the presentation we never talked about this before. Look at this show. Now, obviously, it's not super high definition. Obviously, the entrance is not as elaborate, but it's the same guardrails. It's the same ring. It's the same announcer table. So when you watch this, you forget it was 20 years ago. Like when you watch stuff 10 years earlier than this, like 1992, you're like, oh my goodness, WrestleMania 8 just looks like it was a lifetime ago. You watch this stuff and you're like, these are in the same arenas that still exist, that set, you know, what, like the ring and around it still looks the same. So it's pretty crazy.
Well, and the only difference would be the LED boards on the side and the LED boards on the post.
And those are relatively new. Those are like the last like 2 years.
And those aren't drastic changes.
No.
Yeah.
So what do you think of Orton being champion again?
So I'm not a fan. I just like, we talk about it on the show. Like, and I texted you either the next day or that night or something like that. I was like, great to see them pushing the young guy, Randall Orton. Like, you know, and I don't know if it's just, I'm not a fan of Orton. Like, I think that might be a part of it too. Like, but
yeah, it
just,
is.
Yeah. And yeah. So why? Like, and maybe they're, you know, they're trying to tell the story of, you know, where the belt goes at this point. Like I do feel bad for Drew because he's been a champ and not been in front of fans since he won the belt. And so,
well, you watch the way they reacted when he eliminated Lesnar at the Rumble. Okay. So now Devon's out. Okay. You watch the way that they reacted when he knocked out Lesnar at the Rumble. You can only imagine how great the WrestleMania moment would have been when he did that. So that took away. And then, I mean, what was going to happen? I mean, like, I don't know, but I don't get, you tell me if I'm missing something. I don't get the thinking behind. Has Shawn Michaels even been in the match yet?
Not yet.
Okay, I didn't think so.
He's had some brawls, but he hasn't really been in. Yep.
So it's down to him and – is it down to him and Devon?
Him and Devon, yep.
Okay. So here's the thing. I don't understand what the school of thought behind giving the title to Orton is.
I'm right there with you.
I don't mind them giving it to him. The only thing I possibly have for you, okay, is you give it to him now. He has a long heel run. You bring Edge back either by winning the Rumble or winning Elimination Chamber, okay? And then you have the blow off to that year-long feud with Edge, remarkably getting a WrestleMania moment, winning the title after being gone for 9 years. Okay.
Would you be okay with Edge winning it again?
1,000%.
See, I would not.
I love it. I like the veterans. I like the big moments. I think it's cool as hell. Give them a title, you know, and then you see where it goes.
I see no way that the belt doesn't end up, the WrestleMania doesn't end with the belt on Roman, with how they've been pushing him and kind of doing it. I do appreciate the total idiot sign with Randy Orton's face on it, the guy that's like dead center camera.
Let me tell you something. Go ahead and give Roman Reigns a 2-year title run for all I care. You gotta build these. That's why I was hoping that McIntyre would hold it forever. Mm-hmm. I like guys that have long reigns. I like when it means something. To me, Roman Reigns, make him your champion for the next 2 years. Make him the tribal chief. Make him beat everyone. See if you can get the Brock back for a WrestleMania match. That's what I want.
See, and I think that's the route they'll go. I don't like.
I may have mentioned on here. My fantasy booking of this is number 30 at the Rumble. Rock comes out. He doesn't even have to take a bump, okay? You know, he eliminates the last guy or the last couple guys. He goes on to WrestleMania and, you know, Reigns beats him. That's his final match ever.
And that's that. Yeah.
And that's that. And you keep Reigns strong as hell and you give Rock one final WrestleMania moment.
Well, and you get the do-over from when The Rock was raising his hand and everybody was booing.
Yep.
And so, yeah, you get that. So there's Bubba Ray.
Team Austin's down to Shawn Michaels. And then you've got Orton, Jericho, and Christian. Is that right?
That's right. Yep. Yeah. And so Michaels, here we go. What's he going to do here? So something again we have not talked about because and also in the news recently, since we're kind of going that route and kind of what we're hearing about is the developments of Twitch and the wrestlers having to give up their channels and that kind of income stream and stuff like that. And I texted it to you and you said, let's talk about it later. And so I said, all right, so let's talk about it. It's later now. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, so it's bullshit. Okay, and here's the thing. You can't – I mean, I understand where they're coming from. Where they're coming from is we have developed Paige as a WWE superstar. We own her trademark. We own her character. We created her character and likeness. We want to monetize that through video games and lunchboxes and whatever else. So yes. For you to be Paige – on Cameo or on Twitch or wherever else, you're using the character that we created. And we don't want you doing that because you could say stuff that doesn't align with our PG-friendly brand that we're generating millions and millions of dollars of advertising. We don't want you doing something that pisses off Fox because they're paying us, you know, whatever, $250 million a year. And yep. You're going on Cameo and saying things that don't align with a kid-friendly program. I get all that. I get all that. And I'm not saying they're wrong, but it also sucks that an independent contractor, okay, yep. is not an independent contractor. They're employees. So you can't treat them like employees, expect them to act like employees, restrict their ability to earn an income like employees, but then not make them employees. So it's right. just this really like weird area. Now, do I think they're better off being independent contractors and employees? Yeah, probably. So it's just tricky, man. It just sucks. Oh God, that's a major blade job.
Is that a blade job?
There is just blood everywhere.
He is squirting. Yep.
He hit a gusher, as they like to say.
Yeah, it is all over him. Yikes.
So I don't know. I just don't like it. I don't like that people can't access these people on like a Twitch. I mean, I get the sense that guys like AJ Styles have done a really cool job connecting with fans and giving them really cool access. And so part of me says, hey, that's good. I like that. As a 10-year-old, if I could have gotten on, Shawn Michaels' Twitch, hell, I'd still do it now. But at 12 years old, you know, Hulk Hogan having like a private video thing, it would have been really cool. So it sucks, but I get it. I think the whole thing's just bullshit. I'm not one to say, oh, well, they should all be employees and they should unionize and all that stuff. I actually think that's a terrible idea. And I think there'd be less guys with lucrative contracts if that were the case. But I know that's a long – Sean hits the – all right, so we're down to two guys on Team Raw, Orton and Jericho, against a bloody Shawn Michaels. There's no way he can overcome these odds. So, yeah, I know I gave like a lot of variations to it, but yeah. I guess to summarize – I understand both sides. Both sides are probably right and both sides are probably wrong. What do you think?
I think that it's more wrong on the WWE side. I get it. I agree with you on from the character persona perspective. Yeah. Like if WWE has, you know, that ability to say no, like we own Paige, like in the Paige sense, just like they own Undertaker in the Undertaker sense. Now you start breaking down the line by line of, do they own Mark Calloway? Like, yeah, that's tough to kind of see, you know, where does the line stop? And based on, you know, who knows, you and I've both heard it. We've talked about it briefly about like Andrew Yang is going to make it his mission to make them, you know, change kind of their practices and what they're doing. But
the problem is that guess what? And then they unionize and then they all become employees and they lay off 20 guys because they say it's way more expensive to pay for their health insurance and everything else. So then you're pissed off that, hey, Zack Ryder doesn't have a job now. Hey, what happened to, this team or that team, you're going to lose 20 or 30 guys.
Yeah.
And you're going to have less guys in developmental and it's going to be harder to get one of those spots and it's going to be harder to break into the business and less guys are going to be able to be employed at a major promotion. So again, there's pros and cons to all of this.
Yeah. And I think too, the WWE side of it, from the wrestler side of it, I guess I have a little bit more sympathy for that of like, yeah, they have tried to build, like they have WWE in a lot of ways, like made them who they are. Some of them had the name recognition before that, but they're just trying to build a brand around themselves too. And so I get, especially how frustrating that could be of like, oh, we got to, but I do think.
But if you go on Cameo and your name's listed as Charlotte Flair and you're saying, woo, and you're presenting yourself like that character, which they all do.
Yep. No, and I, from that perspective, when you're doing that, I get the money ask. But when they start changing their names to their personal names, yeah. And again,
where but do then you and the then line? Okay, but then that becomes, and I'm just going to use this. I'll tell you what, this match is heating up, man. So yep. Sean's fighting, bloody as hell. It's down to the two. Crowd's into it. Yeah, this is really good. This is a well done Survivor Series match, and there's some out there.
Man, he's bleeding. Jesus. I know.
So here's the problem, though. And again, I'm just using Paige as an example. But let's say she goes on Twitch, and I forget what her real name is, but she's on Twitch as her name. There's no Paige in parentheses, nothing else. She's just talking about life, and people like her, and she has a relationship with her fans. Well, if she says something super inappropriate, okay, or political, or, you know,
as Paige, you're talking as Paige. Michaels gets
Place
the role.
Went fucking nuts. They went crazy. So now we're down to
one-on-one, Michaels Orton and Orton.
Michaels. Okay. But my point is that even if her, not her as Paige, but just her, chair shot to the head.
Oh, huge chair shot. Yep. He got his hands up, but yeah.
So my point is that if she says something and then Fox is going to call Vince McMahon and say, hey, your employee, your talent, your person just did this or that. So even if it's not as Paige, but it's as whatever her name is, and I forget, I should know, there's going to be an issue.
Yep.
So even if Alan Jones goes on Twitter and, you know, or I'm sorry, on, well, they don't want him on there. They don't want him on anywhere. Goes on there. HBK kicks out.
Randy Orton crawled in, tried to get the pin, but no.
2¾. So my point is even if AJ says, look, my name's Alan Jones, I'm on there connecting with my fans, I'm talking about hunting and life and whatever, if he says something terrible, they're still going to come after the company. So the company's doing this from a liability standpoint. I think it's less about monetization and more about risk management.
And that, from that person, then that makes, and you and I, ref bump. I called it last week.
We haven't had a ref bump in a couple episodes.
I called it. Yep. There it is. There's the ref bump for you. And you and I deal with a lot of risk mitigation too, and kind of what we do. And so that, from that piece, it makes sense. Now to take their money, if they keep their channel, that I have a problem with. But even you and I, like, hey, we got the coach on our show. So, you know, giving us the intro and then, you know, Hacksaw and things like that. And so, yeah, you know, we've got that, you know, as well. And so, yeah, I think too, like it's definitely, if nothing else, you and I sitting here, it is by no means a cut and dry, you know, they're going to take their money if they have a page that uses that name. And so, yeah, I think there's just a lot of layers to it. And you really got to keep looking at all of them. Tuning up the band now, Michael's still just fucking dripping in blood. He really got that deep cut.
Oh, karate kick by Bischoff. Austin attacking him.
There you go. Yep. Austin attacking Bischoff. Here comes the stunner.
Orton with a stunner. Or took a stunner, I should say.
Took a stunner. Boy, and that was a great sell. He's like draped over the ring, the bottom rope. That's just fantastic. Yep.
Now he's beating up on Bischoff. Oh, that was not the best bump.
Did you ever own an Austin shirt? I feel like everybody had one at some point in their life.
I think I bought one like later on just to have, but I don't think I ever actually bought one in the heyday.
Yeah, I did.
Isn't that ironic that I really didn't own many wrestling shirts as a kid, but now as an adult, I own a bunch. Oh, Dave Bautista.
Bautista sliding in as Michaels goes for the pin.
Bautista bomb.
Oh, God. Such a great finisher.
It really is.
I love a power bomb. That was like when Kevin Owens was using the pop-up power bomb. And then who else? Apollo Creed had this the spin-out power bomb, too, which was really cool.
That's got to be it. After Bautista bomb, that's it. Yeah, Bautista Austin bomb. And Bischoff in the back. They're not even a factor right now. Slow refs moving. 1, 2.
And that's it.
I actually thought he was going to win because the way you were telling me how much I was going to enjoy this match.
Hey, you never know.
Yep, I'm surprised. I actually didn't know the result. I was actually surprised by that. Okay, so Austin's team loses. The heels win. Team Bischoff because Orton pinned Shawn. Okay.
Yes.
The legend killer.
Wow. Austin's staring at the ring right now in disbelief. Yep.
All right, well, let's get into – The aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
All right, initial thoughts.
Fast action, a lot happening. It was quick. It was 10 guys to have it done in under 30 minutes. You got to move quick, and it definitely moved quick. And so
it moved really quick. I agree with that. It really moved quick. And I thought the pins meant something. It wasn't a bunch of like cheap pins or countouts. Like I thought like the finishes to a lot of those pins made a lot of sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And so in the immediate aftermath, I know we're continuing to watch this right now. You actually do end up getting a moment between Austin and Michaels. No sweet chins, no super kicks or anything like, or stunners, like just, you know, really just two absolute legends in the ring. And Michaels just giving it his all to kind of really go for it on this one. And so it was actually after this, though, Mick Foley actually took over as Austin's kind of role as the co-general manager. And kind of doing it. And Austin really like, it just didn't, it was gone. Like, you know, he dealing with the injuries, he showed up at like the tribute to the troops. He did he gave McMahon a stunner when he was Santa Claus. Like, so there was, you know, a few times that he would kind of appear and things like that. And he was also the sheriff for a little while too, you know, just kind of going back and forth. So a few different things, but on and off. And then as 2004 began, he ended up being the special guest referee for the Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg match, which is at WrestleMania XX20. So kind of going to get that. And so then at that point, then you also have the previous, you had John Cena just a little bit in the story here, but Bischoff, his kind of angle on this was declaring war on Cena and kind of going after them. He didn't like this was when it was Thugonomics and him doing that. It, just not a big fan. So Bischoff had, I said, some of his people. And so, and to pause for a minute here, you just had Austin kind of pulling up Michaels in the ring. I still got it on, kind of watching it. And so the two of them kind of talking.
You better not stun him.
And so we'll see what happens here. Yeah. So, but just a lot, you know, a lot of different things with Bischoff kind of just being involved in the storyline, but you actually had him.
Hey, just a real quick side note, because we're still watching it and, you know, it's Sean in the ring bloodied up and, you know, him and Austin, they're going to shake hands. I think everything will be cool here, but isn't it wild that at WrestleMania 14, we think that Steve Austin, the next major star, you know, basically retire Shawn Michaels and he's, you know, the man. And then here you are all these years later and Shawn's still in the peak of his condition, main eventer, you know, bloody as hell wrestling. And Austin's the retired guy with two knee braces and a bad neck.
Yeah. And you got him walking out together now. Austin kind of holding him a little bit, just his arm kind of, I mean,
look at that blood.
And the fans just cheering like crazy still. Yeah. Kind of giving him the applause. Yep.
You see why I wish he would have got another title run?
Yeah, I know. So
he was just so good during this era for a long number of years.
So this eventually lead to kind of Austin just kind of slowly kind of fading, but still being involved, but obviously not being a weekly wrestler and things like that. And Bischoff
was just, I know why they kept Austin around all these years, but it was just never the same when he couldn't wrestle. You know, they were just so restricted. They were so restricted in what they could do with him. You know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely. So, and Bischoff ended up getting, quote, fired. So, dealing that one of the many times he got fired. So, yeah. But, you know, just normal kind of storyline build, things like that. Austin, of course, being the special guest referee was probably the biggest piece to come out of this. But, had that. So, any thoughts on that? Ready for reviews? Want to jump right in?
Yeah, hit me with the reviews. I'm looking forward to. I'm curious. I think it was pretty good. I'm curious what others thought.
Giving a little extra here this week, I actually went and got everybody's PWI ranking. I didn't do it last week, and then I wanted to make sure I did it this week. And so for Team Bischoff, yeah, Jericho was actually 5, Christian 28, Mark Henry was 244, Randy Orton was 63, and Scott Steiner was 40. If you kind of average it out, they were about 76, with Mark Henry kind of bringing that number way up a little bit more. Team Austin, though, a few lower numbers here. You had Booker T was actually 7 that year. Bubba Ray Dudley, 56, Devon 69, Rob Van Dam 10, Shawn Michaels 32. They're at
32. Give me a break. This guy was still the best performer in the business.
And so, and this was, and so their average was about 35. And so you've got 35 and 76 is your kind of averages of kind of how you're breaking it down and things like that. So this one, I think compared to last week, I have a feeling you are actually going to like these reviews a lot more. And so the Observer newsletter on this one, this was just tremendous. Dave Meltzer, your favorite. This was just tremendous. Is Sean in the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame yet? Okay, I realize that he is, but I am hereby petitioning to get him into the Hall of Fame again. I believe he should be reelected, and anyone in favor of this should put that on their ballot when voting this year. Seriously, despite being in his late 30s with a bad back, wrestling a safe style, this guy was by far the best worker on this particular show by leaps and bounds. It amazes me that some people cannot look beyond things that he might have done in the past to acknowledge this. I always make fun of Hunter and guys like that who bury the internet fans and say that they should not be allowed to have an opinion. But I read comments from people who cannot bring themselves to admit that this guy is one of the greatest workers there have ever been. It seriously makes me think that Hunter is right. So anyway, Sean laid in the ring dead and bloody forever. Austin quite looking quite forlorn, finally hit the ring. For the life of me, I thought he was going to give Sean a stunner. Instead, he helped him to his feet. Sean said he was sorry. Austin shook his hand and they both went to the back together. Loud HBK and Austin chants. Realistically, they both should have retired for real at this point because this was too good. I love wrestling again. 4.25 stars. And then one of the other kind of write-ups that I was reading that was also 4.25.
They should have retired?
That's what he
right
said.
Right there? Yeah. That and was so, not how... Okay. Austin and Sean walking out together after a Survivor Series match in the middle of the card is not how either of them should have retired. That's such a stupid-ass statement.
That piece of it, yeah.
You know how Shawn Michaels should have retired? By losing a 5-star classic to The Undertaker at WrestleMania. That's how. Yeah. Give me a break.
So, one other, like I said, this is rightfully mostly remembered for Shawn Michaels' incredible last stand. Don't get me wrong, the stuff before Shawn got left alone was solid too, but everything after was magical. It was a masterful performance and perfectly booked, even giving the up and coming star the pin on HBK, also 4.25 stars. 4.25. I said most of, you agreed with most of the reviews. I'll let you go first here again.
You know, I'll tell you what, and don't get me wrong. I like this. I thought it was a really good match. You know, I didn't the co-GM storyline stuff. Not the best. Overall, good match. Enjoyed it. Storyline really just did next to nothing for me. So that's part of our payoff score. So overall, I'll give this a 7. It's a good piece of business. Pretty good match, really good ending, crowds into it, a couple of legends in there, but 7, solid, but not spectacular. What about you?
I'm the same. I'm at a 7. I was sports entertained. I appreciate a fast-paced match, and this was a fast-paced match. That kept me engaged, kept me kind of watching. You know, I wanted to know what was happening, and so that was good stuff. So, and a lot of the story was, well, it should have been Bischoff and Austin, and a lot of it turned into Austin and Michaels. And so it's not a bad thing. That's just kind of a statement of how it goes. And so Austin still, and we've had it. I still have it on. I don't know if you do. Austin just cut a promo as well, too, and fans are cheering for him and all that. So 7 for me again, because I have a couple different reasons, but just, it didn't make a ton of sense to me. It didn't make it, you know, the I'm with you. The general manager storylines are just, I get why, but it doesn't make it any less weird, but yeah. So, but that's all I got. So, all right. Send us home, my friend. What do you got? Final thoughts? Yeah.
Good episode. Good match. Good conversation. We covered a lot. You know, that's the fun thing about us doing the matches versus when we bring on a guest, is that I feel like we just can cover a lot of ground. So this is a lot of fun.
And we hear people when they say, well, we don't talk about the match as much. We might talk about the career, but like, you know, we're not trying to be an interview show. So kind of have that, but yeah, but we're going to keep doing what we're doing. I always enjoy kind of, you know, we've learned a lot about this one, and we're finding matches, and we hope everybody at home is kind of, you know, checks out some of these, whether you've watched it on the network or YouTube or whatever it might be, like, cause we don't remember all this stuff either, but that doesn't make it any less good when we do kind of go back and watch all of it too. So good stuff.
Well, and look, I've realized that in business and in life, you're never going to make everyone happy, so you might as well do whatever you like doing, and This is our format. We like it. Hope you do too. But
we like doing it.
You're never going to bat 1,000. So
yep.
That's a lot of fun. So as always, we appreciate you guys listening, supporting the show, tweeting us, Facebook, Instagram, at Payoff Pod. Love hearing from you. Thank you as always for joining us on The Payoff.